If you go to the store today, we're out of anchovies. If you could pick some up, please.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
We're also out of bananas. If you could just pick
whatever.
Some. Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Seriously, Mikey. I mean it. I wouldn't kid you about something like that. Hey, put that down. It's not yours. God, you come in here and you start touching my stuff. Stop touching my stuff. That's my stuff. Stop touching it. Nervous, some of you people. Well, I'm one step closer to death. Donald Trump is becoming the Republican nominee. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
I don't care. I really don't even care anymore. I don't even care. I don't care. Whatever. Go on, have your riots. I don't care. I don't even care. Yeah, I live in a democracy. The majority rules, no matter how stupid the majority may be. But hey, he's only Republican nominee. That's all. That don't mean nothing, really. I just wish I had a better choice. Thank God. Oh, where's Pee Wee Herman when you need him? That man was brilliant. There are so many people that could be a great president. I'm not talking about Ronald Reagan or Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm talking about Marilyn Manson, perhaps, or Joey Buttafuoco. Remember him? He would be great as a president. I think he'd be fit. Or one of the Kardashian girls. They would be wonderful. Be the first woman president. I don't see anything wrong with, well, woman, quote unquote. There'd be nothing wrong with that, you know. Play the woman card there, Kim Kardashian. Go on. Anyway, whatever. I don't even want to talk politics. I don't want to talk politics. Mother's Day is just around the corner. You can probably see it if you stick your head out the window. Mother's Day is a special day when we honor mothers, thus the title that they give it called Mother's Day. It's not Garbage Collector's Day. That would be for garbage collectors. This is Mother's Day for your baby mamas. And it's great to recognize them once a year, because pretty much that's about it. I don't. You my mother? I don't even know until it's that time of year. I didn't recognize you. I'm always fascinated by these holidays where we honor something that is not really honorable on a particular day. A mother should be loved, appreciated every single day of the freaking week and the freaking year. Excuse my freaking language. Father's Day, stupid. Why not Grandmother's Day? Why not First Cousin's Day? It's ridiculous. Why not my Priest's Day, Father Day? Father's Day and Father Day. How about Bakery Day, where we honor pies? What's wrong with that? Why wouldn't that be the case? Don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get those holidays. Birthdays different, because birthdays, you were born on a certain day, and every calendar rotation of the earth We say we're a year older. It makes no difference. We're older every single day of our lives. We're older every single minute of our lives. Let's not split hairs. If you have split hairs, you should go to a barber. Because I'm telling you, it's just stupid. We make up these holidays, I guess, for retailers. It's the only purpose I can think of. Because it's pretty demeaning to say, well, one day a year I'll honor my mother. But that's it. That's it. Maybe 2 days, but no, one day really. Stupid. I understand Christmas to some extent. Not necessarily the reason behind it, but that's a religious conversation we can have on some other show. But I get the Christmas thing. It's not Christmas every day. That's like a birthday. Christmas is like a birthday. I understand New Year's. We do the calendar thing and we chart our things by the calendar year. And it's the start of a new number that we've decided goes on the calendar year. I kind of get that. I get it. Easter? Yeah, similar to Christmas. I'm not too sure what's happening there. But Easter, I got that. I got that. I got it down. I got it down, man. 4th of July, it's the birthday of our nation. Share another birthday. I get all those holidays. Memorial Day? I'm not understanding that. Why can't we honor and memorialize those veterans and peoples every day of the year? Why do we have to pick out a particular day? Is it so we can have it off and eat a hot dog? I'm not too sure about why it needs to be on a specific day. So Mother's Day is one of those. I find great disdain in it. The greatest item that is consumed on Mother's Day, well, of course, flowers, which is always a pleasant gift. Here, Mom, let me give you something that will die in 3 days. I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying that you're going to die in 3 days or anything like that, but I want to give you a gift that will last forever. Here are flowers that will die in 3 days. My love for you is forever. Not so much with the flowers. But they're pretty, it's superficial, you like them, I stick them in a bowl, you got your flowers, I'm covered, happy Mother's Day to you. But the number one item that is consumed on Mother's Day is marijuana. Only kidding, that's a joke. That's any day. The number one, by the way, we'll talk about marijuana sometime. Legalizing recreational marijuana sounds great, and I went through that for a number of years when I was younger, and it wasn't legal, but I still made believe it was, illegal. It was legal, but it wasn't legal. I remember when I was a young adult, an older teenager, I was living in New York, and I remember smoking a joint. Sorry, that means I can't be president now. I remember smoking a joint, walking through Central Park on a weekend with my friends, and I remember police officers coming at me in the opposite direction, and we'd be smoking a joint, and they wouldn't even stop us. They wouldn't even stop us because it was New York City. So many people were doing it. You didn't get arrested for it. Now, if they see you doing it, hands behind your back, I'm taking you to jail, I'm gonna pat you down, I'm going to put you in Guantanamo or something. I mean, it's just... But yet, for some reason, it was illegal when I was growing up, yet you could do it all over the place in New York City. Not today, but back then you could, because there were so many people smoking pot in public, you couldn't arrest them all. You couldn't fit them in the car. There were no paddy wagons. Anyway, I digress. I digressed big time, didn't I? Mother's Day is coming up, and it's time to go to your local pharmacia or your card store or your supermarket, whatever, and it's time to pick out a card for your mother if she's still alive. If she's not still alive, save your money. And I mean that, of course, from the bottom of my heart with love. Anyway, it's time to do that. I can't buy a card for anybody, a greeting card, without going through every single greeting card first, because I may not be the most honest person in the world, But when it comes to greeting cards, for some reason, I get very religious and I get very, very exact. I mean, I'll tell people all the time, oh, have you lost weight? You really look great. Oh, you look beautiful today. It's bullcrap half the time, or it's embellishment. They look okay, but I say you look great. Makes them feel good and everybody's happy. You know? So, I mean, I'm not 100% honest all the time. But somehow when I go into a greeting card store and picking out a greeting card, I become like totally honest. Like if one word is off, I don't buy that card. For example, you're giving a card to my mother. You are the greatest mother on the earth. You've supported me through the years. Ugh, not entirely. Not entirely. I can't buy you this card. I don't know how I would live without you. I treasure the moments that we have together. You are the perfect mother. Ugh, not perfect. You're not perfect. I can't buy this card. You're not perfect. So there I can't embellish at all. For some reason I get very, very honest. So it takes me a while to find the perfect card, which is usually the blank card. Or you open up the card, says there's a beautiful picture of flowers on the front. Happy Mother's Day. You open it up and inside it says Happy Mother's Day. You go, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one. It's general, it's broad. I sign my name, we're done. I thought of you, I went to a store. Bought the card, give it to you. That's great. I did my job. So, I can't get a card for somebody that has any kind of untruth in it whatsoever. Or even if the adjective to the noun is a little too strong, I go, I don't know. I don't know. I couldn't have a better mother than you. I could have. Actually, I could have. You could have been better to me. I could have found a better mother. Of course, it wasn't my choice, so I can't get you that card. So I end up buying a card. And when you go to a card store especially, or even in a supermarket or a pharmacia, there you have two choices in cards. You either have the cards that are outrageously expensive, like $6 cards, $8 greeting cards. It's a piece of paper that's folded with some crap in it. And you sign your name. I don't know why it should be so much money. It's ridiculous. But then they have a section, which I think they call the shoebox greeting cards, which have nothing to do with shoeboxes whatsoever. I don't know how they came up with that name. There's no shoes involved, no boxes. I don't know where they have the shoebox greeting card. What? These are 99 cents. They're typically 99 cents. And some of those cards are really quite okay. But I can't get the 99-cent card. Do you know why I can't do it? I think you do. I can't do it because it says on the back of the card how much it is. And if I can't give somebody a card that says 99 cents on the back. Now, granted, I've never gotten a greeting card, and I've never flipped it over to see how much money they spent on me for a greeting card. I've never done that. I never thought of doing that. Maybe I'll start doing that. And I don't think anybody else really does. Let's see. How much money did they spend on this card? Flip it over. Oh, 99 cents. Why, you bastard! I love you. Happy Mother's Day. Oh, 99 cents. Whoa! You ungrateful son of a bitch! Why is that the only product in the world that has the price printed on the back of the card itself? On every other item, there is a price on a price tag. And when you give a gift, and cards are always gifts, there is no mistaking the fact that when you buy a greeting card, it's not for yourself. There is no greeting card section in a store that says cards to myself. I don't buy cards to myself. That would be egotistical and stupid. They don't even have them. There's no card that says, hello, Ron, you're looking good today. And you open up the card, and I love you. From myself. Maybe Donald Trump has a card like that, but I do not. Cards are always meant to be given to somebody else. It's the definition of a greeting card. So why is it the only product where the price is printed on the back? I've said this before on the show, as I've said everything on the show, if I really, really weren't so lazy, I would create a line of greeting cards. They don't have to be great. Most of the greeting cards are not great. They are simplistic and obvious. I can hire a 10-year-old child to write greeting cards, believe me. They don't have to be bombastic. All it has to say inside is, I love you so much, or thank you for being you, whatever, something stupid and simple like that. And then you charge $10. What I would do is start a line of greeting cards, and it would be called Ron's Hat Box Greeting Cards. But the difference would be on the back of the card, the price isn't printed. It isn't printed. It's got a sticky thing on the back with the price on the sticky thing. And when you give the card to the intended receiver, before you put it in the envelope, you remove the sticky tag with the price on it, so that the receiver of the greeting card has no idea how much you spent on them. Why hasn't anybody done this yet? I could be a millionaire. I can be a contender. And if I got off of my lazy ass, I would go into business doing that, and I would be quite popular, and my marketing scheme would be, they'll never know how much you paid. That's it. That's my simple marketing scheme. Greeting cards with removable prices on the back. Well, this is incredible. I will only buy Ron's cards now. Why? Having the price on the back? That's ridiculous. And Ron recognizes that. Why, he's not only a talk show host, he's a genius. He's a genius. I don't know. It's simple. It's simple. Thank God nobody listens to this show. Otherwise, they take my ideas in a second. I've had tons of ideas for this show. Some of them, chocolate gum. Chocolate gum. Tori, who co-hosts with me on Fridays on this channel here, Tori actually found chocolate gum from the Yum Yum Gum Company. It's not great gum. I appreciate the effort, Tori. It's not great gum. It loses its flavor extremely quickly. Doesn't make a viable gum. It cannot be a contender in the gum business. That's perhaps why we don't see it on the shelves. So it remains for me still to manufacture or find a chocolate gum, a chocolate sugarless gum that people can chew because they love chocolate, that lasts at least 5 minutes, the flavor. So that's still an open category for me. Then I was talking to somebody else, and I said to myself, hey, why isn't there a washer and dryer in the same unit, but not two separate drums? It all happens in one drum, like a car wash. You drive in, and it all happens in one place. So the drum that you put your clothes in not only washes them, but when the wash cycle is finished, the clothes stay in the same drum. There's nothing to change over into a dryer. It stays there, and all of a sudden, little heat blasts come in onto the drum, and the thing spins around. Your clothes are dried in the same drum. You put the clothes in, and you come back an hour and a half later, and your clothes are totally dry and totally clean and totally fluffy. That, to me, was an incredible invention. Then I find out LG, life is good for them, they actually make something like this. But, did you know that they did this? No, I didn't know either. Nobody knows. Nobody knows that there is a washer and dryer in one drum. Nobody knows this. And if you know it, I don't know it. And it's all about me. That's marketing. That's lousy, lousy marketing. If everybody knew, how often are you sitting in your house and you're going, oh my God, I got to change the laundry over from the washer to the dryer. No more. See, that's very ambitious though, because I'm not going to go into the manufacturing business of washing machines and dryers. I mean, that's just like way too much for me in my lazy attitude kind of life. And there are other inventions that I have come up with that I won't even talk about. Oh, sure. There's the power outage bicycle. Oh, yeah. I've been talking about this for decades now. It's a stationary bicycle, which means it don't go nowhere. And when you get on the bicycle and it's a stationary bicycle, it's really, really boring. Although you work up the sweat, you work off the carbs, it's really a very effective way. It's lousy on your knees, but it's an effective way of exercising on a stationary bicycle. But I always say to myself, okay, maybe I'm burning some calories here, which are kind of useless, to be honest with you. But I'm not really performing a service here. I'm not going anywhere. I started pedaling like 2 hours ago, and I'm still in the same spot on the carpet. But what if that produced some type of result besides losing a little bit of weight? What if it actually generated electricity that could be stored in a battery? Yes, it's the stationary bicycle with a battery attached, and as you pedal, you are creating energy, and that energy is stored in a battery connected to the bicycle. And when you're not bicycling, you've stored enough energy in this battery cell. If your lights go out, there's a power outage, simply plug into this convenient little battery cell that is connected to the bicycle. It's got an AC plug, and you can power stuff like for a day, because you've stored your energy from being on the bicycle. So not only are you losing weight, but you're creating power that goes to this energy cell connected to the bicycle. In the middle of a power outage, let's say you don't have enough power in your little energy cell, well, you just start pedaling, baby, and your lights will come on, or whatever you've plugged into it, the radio, the TV, whatever the case may be. Like, hey, Bob, pedal faster. Dr. Phil is on, and I want to see it. Pedal, baby. Pedal away. That's another invention that I have come up with. I should be on Shark Tank every single day. However, I don't have the energy nor ability, nor want nor need to get up off my ass to do anything. I am one of the laziest people you'll ever meet. And if you don't meet me, I'm still lazy. So, bottom line, happy Mother's Day. Hope you find a card that means something to you. Probably won't. Make it simple. Mom doesn't want a big gift. Mom doesn't want the flowers that will die in 3 days. Mom wants the card. And let me tell you something, Mom. When you get the card, flip it over. You want to check out the level of love? See how much the card was.
Hey. This is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But you know me as the guy who runs the area's favorite Italian restaurant.
It's Headshots, Bobby.
Headshots. Thank you. Hey, do you like pasta? Of course you do. Then you gotta come to Headshots this month for Pasta Lamusa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Pacula.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Lanusa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Paducah.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Patchouli.
Nice. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Potato.
Pasta Palooza.
Mr. Potato.
Back on track, Bobby. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Fajor.
On the menu, but Pasta Palooza.
Patsy Cline.
No idea where that came from.
Pasta Canunza.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Cholula.
Pasta Palooza.
Jesus. Just come out and have some goddamn spaghetti.
Headshots now open Tuesday through Sunday at the corner of Flange and Hassenpfeffer.
You're listening to The Big Show by Sean Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
Every once in a while, we have a foreign student that stays with us. She's from France, and she speaks French, oddly enough. How did that happen? And she comes to the United States every once in a while, like every other year, and she wants to assimilate into American society, and someday she wants to move to America and be a viable French person. So she wants to assimilate and learn the culture of us people here in the U.S. of A. So there's an actual agency that finds homes for these people from other countries It's like forced immigration, I suppose, or requested immigration. And they stay with you like for a week and then they go home. And that's what happened. So we signed up for that here. And for twice now in the past 3-4 years, this girl from France stays with us for a week. Do I have fantasies about a girl from France, a 17-year-old teenager, attractive from France, staying with us for a week? Maybe I do, maybe I don't. I really don't want to talk about it, but that's not the point. Of course I don't. I would say publicly. As much as she probably has no fantasies about me. Anyway, I don't even know why I'm even... So she say, and she has a lovely French accent, you know, it's the language of love, France, you know, in Italy too, a little bit, I guess. She speaks broken English, as most people that I know speak here in this country. About as broken as you can get, especially around here. So she stays, and she doesn't drink alcohol. But as she explains it, at a very young, tender age, wine is served with dinner at the family dinner table every night. And this goes like for like 14-year-old, 15-year-old, 16-year-olds, and on up. I mean, they have a glass of wine. Are they festering alcoholism? Apparently not. I don't think there are a lot of French drunks walking around. In the United States, it's a little different. We have laws. You can't drink until you reach a certain age. Masturbation, whenever. As soon as you discover your parts, go to town, man. No rules. Behind closed doors, you know what I say? But apparently with drinking, no, can't do it. Can't do it. Now, most people over the age of 30 become parents frequently younger than that. And you don't know how to discuss these things with your kids about, responsible drinking, teenage drinking, you know, that kind of thing. You don't know, or drugs or, you know, be careful, wear protection when you're having sex. I hope you never do. But if you do someday, wear protection. You know, you don't know how to approach these subjects with your child. And parents, if you don't talk about it with your child, then the child's friends will talk about it and learn from them and not for you. So it's up to you how you want to play this out. So I thought it'd be interesting today to talk about teen drinking. And that's what I thought. I thought it would be interesting. So let's do it. Let's say hello to MJ Corcoran, who is spokesperson for the Anheuser-Busch family. And we're talking about a drinking program. How you doing today? Good.
I'm great.
Wonderful.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure having you here. Now, this is we're talking about underage drinking prevention, and this is a real good conversation because when you become a parent, nobody tells you when to talk about certain subjects, especially about things that you do, but you're telling your kids not to do. So, how do we approach something like this?
Well, I think Anheuser-Busch has come up with the program Family Talk About Drinking, and the approach is really to have real conversations, mm-hmm. to create more cooperation and respect within the family, and to address the issue of underage drinking. I partnered with Anheuser-Busch to create the Family Talk About Drinking, which is it's a free, comprehensive online resource that mm-hmm. gives parents tons of information about how to start conversations, when to start conversations, how to ask questions that are open-ended rather than just yes-no questions like, yeah. Will there be drinking at the party is a yes-no question, mm-hmm. and that ends the conversation. What would you do if there's drinking at the party involves open-ended, yeah. and it allows children to think through things. Mm-hmm. And it also gives parents some resources to start those conversations that are so critical, yeah. especially during prom and graduation season.
Now, you take a prominent company like Anheuser-Busch, and, of course, people drink beer. But at the same time, Anheuser-Busch does have sensitivity to the fact that there are age limitations. How does a company like that weigh the two factors?
Well, I think the most important part about this is that the social responsibility is more important to Anheuser-Busch. They mm-hmm. oppose underage drinking. It's illegal.
Yeah.
And so they have the authority and the resources to make a difference, yeah. and they do.
Mm-hmm.
But they're very clear that the product is made for adults 21 and older.
Very good.
And so this Family Talk About Drinking is a resource because we're not going to bury our heads in the sand. We know that that happens.
Good, good. Yeah, it makes a company more respectable when they step out like that and take that responsibility. That is impressive. Now, Anheuser-Busch is partnering with the Second City Comedy Troupe. How does that work?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea, and it's a different twist on looking at something in a different approach.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they partner with Second City to create a series of like short, compelling videos. They're hysterical, which I found amazing because they really do just bring back parents to when they were in high school
uh-huh.
so that the message is really for them to stay connected with their teen,
mm-hmm.
to have conversations. And it's another way to just bring people in so that we can get the message across. It's such a serious, critical issue that a lot of times parents want to ignore, avoid,
yeah.
and this is just another way to start the conversation.
Yeah. So a parent shouldn't feel guilty the fact that they may consume beer at their legal adult age. Usually when you have kids, you're already drinking age. I hope that's the case. You never know.
But
is there some guilt involved with the parent in discussing this because they indeed do it?
You're so cute. I think it's hysterical because I think parenting and guilt go hand in hand,
yeah.
no matter what the subject is. And I think as long as we are the models for our children mm-hmm. and that's being responsible no matter what the topic is,
yeah.
then we're doing our job as parents.
Yeah. Now, I know, I mean, you've been involved in this professionally for a good chunk of your life in dealing with the public school system and the children and how to educate them for certain social responsibilities.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been, in over 30 years, I've been involved with the public education system, so I've seen a lot of things, and I've worked with parents directly and with children, and this is a serious issue, and that's one thing that is important. These are other ways that we can help parents, for them to get involved with their
yeah.
schools, for them to take advantage of all the resources that the schools and the community provide, because they do.
Yeah.
They know it's a real issue. And, you know, to also offer other resources, which Anheuser-Busch provides yeah. Information on at Family Talk About Drinking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know,
yeah.
it's to get involved.
MJ, isn't this a situation sometimes where a parent battles with a child's peers where you got to get to them first before their peers do? And it's almost like good versus evil. And I'm not saying that peers are evil, but that's usually how things start going in the wrong direction. When a child hears from another child and the parent doesn't get involved, then the child's only a base is that peer.
Well, it's interesting that I think our perspective as parents is that the peers are more influential.
Yeah, it is.
But we've done a ton of research on that, and the Roper Youth Report proves that parents are the number one influence.
Okay.
So it's our modeling mm-hmm. that children pay attention to. It's kind of like what we say and what we do. You
yeah.
know, they pay attention to what we do.
Yeah.
And so the modeling is key, and we are the most influential. So we don't yeah. want to give up or give in to anything.
And that's why it is so important for a parent to bring these subjects up. If they don't, then they're giving up that responsibility to the peer, I guess.
Well, I think it's the responsibility that we have to our children.
Yeah.
And I would say that any parent that's facing that,
mm-hmm.
the best resource, one of the best resources that I know of,
yeah.
is at FamilyTalkAboutDrinking.com.
Okay.
And there's very specific practical ways to start conversations.
Yeah.
And parents will be surprised at what information they do get from their kids.
Okay. Just before we leave, because this is fascinating for me, I know we're short of time, but there's somewhat of a debate or interesting thing, and you were involved in this, where a school sometimes takes over for the responsibilities of a parent, where discussions like this happen in a school, and I guess schools thinking that this may not be happening at home. And I know that you feel, as I do, probably that this responsibility is of the parent and not of the school, but schools almost have to do this because they're not sure that the parents are doing it.
Yeah, and that's what's happening all over, is that schools are taking on more responsibility to make sure that every child is educated.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I agree. And in the best of worlds, it's a partnership. And that's why the partnership with Anheuser-Busch is so important to me, because they're showing and they're giving resources to parents. It's an amazing resource. Parents will learn so much from it, not just about underage drinking, but when to talk to kids and how to talk to kids.
Okay. Well, thank you for your involvement, and thank you to Anheuser-Busch's involvement. And that website is familytalkaboutdrinking.com. Visit that and probably talk about other subjects as well while you get on that kick of opening up to your children. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
When you reach for a beer, what are you looking for? The finest malts, grains, and hops? An artisan ale that represents a modern take on traditional brewing techniques that master brewers have refined and treasured for years? A true beer drinking experience? Or like most of us, are you just looking to get fucked up on the cheap? Well, if you're like the rest of us, congratulations, your beer is here. It's Fockenhalter. It's not a great beer. It's not even a good beer. It's a beer that's $4 a case, and it's strong enough to melt the chrome off a trailer hitch. So kiss your liver goodbye and say hello to Fockenhalter. It's beer.
Yes, it is beer, but it's really interestingly wonderful beer. It's horrible. Welcome back to the program. My name is indeed Ron Van Dam. How are you doing? Good to see you. We're almost out of time for today, which means you're just about 5 minutes away from getting a sandwich. The most wonderful food ever invented was putting anything at all between two pieces of bread. Anything at all. Did you ever hear of finger sandwiches? Yes, there's a finger in there. You can't taste it, but it's flavored with finger. God. Oh, my God. Oh, that's disgusting. I've talked about this before. One of the most interesting foods you will ever eat in your life is chopped liver. It's chopped chicken liver, to be exact, usually pretty much. But it has the consistency and the look of loose stools, and it's true, you cannot argue that point with me, no matter what. You could be the head of a debate team, and there's no way you can debate or argue the fact that chopped liver looks like something that chopped liver looks the same going in as it does coming out. And even that, you can put between two pieces of bread. It's a chopped liver sandwich. This concept of the two pieces of bread, I don't know who came up with it. Apparently, it was the Earl of Sandwich, who was not really an earl. He had no royalty. It was simply the guy's name, Earl. He was popular because he owned a bakery, and he made a lot of dough, and he was making bread one day, and he said, you know, I love bread, but I'm getting sick and tired of it. I love to put something into the bread. And lo and behold, he went down to the deli to his friend Irving, who was behind the counter, and said, Irv, can you slice me up a lunch meat? And Irv said, how about some bologna, because it's a little bit of every single meat, including parts of the meat we don't even want to talk about. Then we throw some grease on it, and people love it. It's called bologna. And Earl said, cool, could you like just put it between these two pieces of bread I have? I said, sure, that's absurd, but sure, I'll do it. And Earl put the bologna between the two slices of bread, and he said, oh my God, oh my God, this is wonderful. I don't think it matters what I put between the two slices of bread. This is a sandwich. A sandwich? Why do you call it that? Well, I live in Sandwich, Massachusetts. It's the name of a town. And I'm going to name it after my town. Okay, Earl. And you are the Earl of Sandwich, Massachusetts. Yes, I am. And that's what I'm going to call this wonderful delicacy. It's true. It's true. His friend, who was living next door at the time, was Joe Mayo. And he came up with this spread that he was like working on when his eggs fell into the mixer and got whipped up. And he like invented what he called, well, it was, he called it mayo, and thought, well, we'll just make it longer, make it French sounding. So it sounds a little more like a gourmet food product. I'll call it mayonnaise. Mayonnaise? How about mayonnaise? Okay, whatever. And they just started, and they opened up their own deli and started making sandwiches and named them after celebrities. That's the true story behind sandwiches. And if you believe that, then you're probably going to listen to my show tomorrow. But until then, I wish you peace. I wish you peace. I wish you a piece of bread is what I wish you. Have some bologna. It's tasty. Those sandwiches are very tasty. Tomorrow I'll talk about the guy who came up with pickles. Big finish now, big finish.